spherical wedge domain given here, shown here. I solve the numerically the MHD equations, assuming a perfect gas with adiabatic index gamma equals 1.1 for the coronal plasma. And I solve the total energy equation in conservative form and include thermal conduction along the magnetic field lines. So in this way, the numerical dissipation of magnetic and the kinetic energies in the current sheet are automatically being put back into the thermal energy as adiabatic, non-adiabatic heating, and we also include redistribution of heat due to thermal conduction along the fuel lines. The domain is resolved by a grid given here, and initially the corona is assumed to be initially a static isothermal atmosphere at 1 million degree with a pre-existing potential arcade field, where the Elfin speed at the foot point of the arcade is much larger than the initial sound speed. So for the Ranger domain in the low corona, up to about 0.4 solar radius, the plasma beta is very low. It's magnetically dominated. And then at the lower boundary, we impose a kinematically the emergence of a twisted torus over a period of time, after which the emergence stopped and the field lines are rigidly anchored. And then after that, no more magnetic energy or magnetic helicity is being transported into the domain. So shown in this movie is the evolution of the coronal field after the emergence stopped. So we see that initially the flux rope basically undergo a phase of quasi-static rise phase, which corresponds to this phase of slow decay of magnetic energy due to long time scale due to the reconnection in the current sheets that form in the flux rope. And then this allowed the flux rope to rise slowly to the critical height for the onset of the torus instability, which then caused the eruption of the flux rope. We see that during the evolution of the, here shown in these cross sections, that in the, through the middle, that the density, here shown is density, current density, and the temperature, you see the development of a central void with a sharp lower boundary and a U-shaped dense shell surrounding it, which corresponds to the current layer that extends upward from a central vertical current layer. And then the central void is heated, appear to be heated, and which is the hardest portion of the flux rope in this cross section. So shown here is the 3D structure of this hot channel formed, which is an inverse S-shaped channel in relation to the 3D magnetic field and the current sheet underneath it. And here is the cross-section, vertical cross-section and horizontal cross-section through the current density. And we find that basically the strongest current layer coincide with the so-called quasi-symmetric layers, which represent area in the corona where the connectivity of the magnetic field lines with the line tight lower boundary undergo a drastic change as measured by by a very large so-called squashing factor Q, derived originally by Titov et al., which measures the squashing or deformation of flux tube cross-section as it is being mapped from one end of the line tight low boundary to the other. So because of the distinct dynamic behavior of field line connectivity across these QSLs, it's argued that current sheets tend to develop along the QSLs, and that they are sites of significant magnetic reconnection, which is confirmed by the simulation. And we find that the formation of this hot channel is a result of the reconnection in the current layers. So here shows that the hot channel composed of twisted field lines that have been formed due to reconnection, which add to the twist of the flux rope, as illustrated by this red field line, which thread under the original axis of the flux rope, and it's twisting around the flux rope axis. But you can see that it has their foot points are actually rooted in the arcade field, and early on that they are tracing field lines from these two foot points give you two simple arcade fields. So basically, this arcade field has undergone reconnection multiple times with the flux rope field in the current layer, and transfer mutual helicity into the self-helicity of the flux rope, adding twisted flux to it, creating this hot channel, and eventually allow it to rise to the critical height for the onset torus instability. And we find that this channel in these simulations is actually of low density. And if you look at this channel above the limb, the flux rope above the limb, along the appropriate line of sight that is roughly aligned with the channel, shown here are the EUV synthetic image, AIA images at three different channels, 171, 193, and 211. You will see this kind of a, if you look at along the channel, you see a central elevated void enclosed in the U-shaped dense shell, similar qualitatively to this observation, AIA observation of a prominent cavity, where you see a central cavity elevated above the dense prominent structure, which would coincide with our current sheet here. And here's another example of such central cavity with enclosed in this upward extension of U-shaped dense shell, which sometimes called the prominence horns. Basically, the prominence horn on top of the prominence basically is, in our model, consistent, is outlining the topology of the current sheet or the QSL. Very similar to the model. So here is a movie showing the evolution of the synthetic AIA intensities at three different wavelength bands. And you see the formation and the rise, gradual rise of the central cavity, gradually rises until it reaches a critical height. And then it is ejected, forming post-flare brightening, which are more prominently seen in the hotter channels. So recently, there have been observations of hot formation and rise of hot channels in AIA observations in much hotter temperature range. And they initially, the hot channel appear as a twisted structure, and they reach temperature of 7 million degrees. And then these hot channels appear to be driving the eruption in these observations. They found that they accelerate earlier, faster than the front, dense front seen in the 171 image. So the evolution of these hot channels are qualitatively similar to the hot channel we see in our simulations, although our simulations are for the larger, rather large flux ropes with weak field strength corresponding to quiescent prominence field strength range. Our temperature can reach, in this simulation, reach about 2 million degrees, but the evolution of the nature of the hot channel may be physically similar to these, where you see that initially it's sigmoid-shaped along the neutral line, and then when the eruption happens, they arch upward, followed by the formation of post-flare brightening, and they appear to be driving the eruption because they are part of the flux ropes. So in summary, simulations of line-tight coronal flux ropes show that a sigmoid current-shaped vertical current layer will form along the QSLs underlying the flux rope, and reconnections in the current layer effectively will add twisted flux to the flux rope and allow it to rise quasi-statically to the critical height, and then the ideal torus instability sets in to cause the eruption. As the observational signature of such reconnection is the formation of a hot channel containing reconnected twisted flux threading under the flux rope on top of the current layer. And when viewed along the line of sight aligned with the hot channel, one can see a high density vertical column with upward extension or the prominence horns and enclosed a central cavity which contained the twisted flux being added to the flux rope. So the height of such structure may indicate the level to the extent to which the tether cutting reconnection has taken place and the readiness of the flux rope to erupt. And recently we've been doing more simulations of smaller, more compact active regions of active region field strength. And we find that more higher temperature hot channels can develop as a result of the onset of the kinking stability. And also we find multiple eruptions as you continue to emerge twisted flux. And then that's a poster talk which Piali Chatterjee will present, poster number 108. So that's it. Thank you.
So at the IAU Symposium on Prominences 3 weeks ago in Paris, Alan Tytle presented some amazing movies from AIA, where they processed the data in a new way. And these showed flux ropes erupting out ahead of the prominence. And they were the extensions of the horns. In other words, these were exactly the flux ropes that you're predicting. And everybody at the conference was completely amazed to see these beautiful movies of flux ropes and was completely puzzled as to what their explanation was. And you've provided us with the explanation. Great. So well done.
Thank you.
So, yes, other questions? Yes, Hugh.
Truly, it's beautiful. I had a question about, I think it's a PhD thesis of Sun Shudong Sun from Stanford. There's a paper in 2012 where he shows a very nice example. This is from the flare of February 15th, 2011, of a downward motion of a horizontal current system at the time of the impulsive phase of the, or the eruptive phase of the flare. And I just saw a numerical simulation by Cusano that seemed to show such an implosion.
Implosion.
Implosion, yeah. Do you see anything like that in your simulations?
The observation have shown that actually the transverse field near in a mutual line tend to increase as the post-flare loops that forms after, you know, most of the time the flux rope actually erupt partially. The top part erupts and then some twisted flux remains and then the post-flare loops coming down and then actually it forms this, there's this implosion in the post-flare loops system.
After the eruption,
yeah.
At the time of the eruption,
well, it's the impulsive phase when the current sheet is forming the strongest and then you do see the surviving rope coming down, part of the surviving rope. Field actually is the transverse field. You can see that it's coming, increasing magnetic pressure.
Yeah, Lauren.
Truly a beautiful simulation and beautiful presentation. However, observationally, it seems to me that most such eruptions start from one end and then proceed along. Can you give some insight into how your presentation might be modified to take this into account?
It's idealized. I imposed a very symmetric flux rope. In real sun, for example, these polar crown filaments are probably a long flux rope with undulations. Partly, you know, some portion is anchored, and then another undulation. So it's probably I'm just modeling portion of that long flux rope structure. So I'm sure if I include the asymmetries, complexities in the structure of the rope, there will be portion of it will become reach the critical height and erupt, and then probably will be non-radial. This is very radial. All those complexities should be involved in will should explain these. Details.
The U-shaped horns, are they dense because they're hotter because of the QSL heating?
It's a QSL. Basically, it is basically outlining the QSL, the HFT, or sometimes the hyperbolic flux tube. But it's because, it's the current sheet, it's denser. That's why it appears more clearly in the...
Thank you very much.